Right, I'm audio good. Thank you. Thank you. That's it. Okay, back to our passage. Which is in Proverbs chapter 3. If you've got a Bible, do open it. It's a good idea. Just to hold this short, these two short verses in mind. So they're before our eyes. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall I add to thee. I suppose it's true, isn't it, that we all want a happy life. Don't you? Does anyone not want a happy life? Do we want a sad life? Do we want a life full of trouble? Everything goes against us. No one in their right mind wants that. What's exciting here is that we have here the means to live a happy life. A life with a happy ending. I don't know about you, but I don't like sad endings in stories. Do you? I was very depressed to hear that the very well-known tennis star, Emma Raducanu, you all heard about her? She had a remarkable rise to fame. When she left school, at aged 18, she went and out of the blue, she won the American doubles. That was a fairy tale ending, but it should really have been, in my humble opinion, the end of her tennis career. She should have just said, well, I'll go to university now and live a normal life. But it's all turned against her since then. She's not had that success since then. But I think it was sometime last week, she was reading a fairy tale about Cinderella and about Prince Charming, and all these fairy tales have been turned upside down. Instead of the wonderful romance and the happy and living happily ever after, it was about making lots of money and being better than the man. And I thought, how sad. That's what it's turned to. But fairy tales were never like that when I was a child, and I'm sure as a child you don't like to think of life like that, all about materialism and how you want it to be happy, don't you? And we all have this idea of wanting a happy life. Well, as I said, here we have how we can truly be happy. And I hope we will take these verses to heart. First of all, look how it begins. My son. Please don't feel, if you're a lady here or a young girl, that this isn't talking to you. Oh, I wish I'd been a boy, then this would have been talking to me. No, in the Bible, when it says my son, it includes the woman as well, because the Bible teaches that the woman comes out of the man. So the man, when it's talking about men in the Bible, unless it's specific, it's talking about men and women. So it talks about my son. So this is Solomon talking to his son. This is our Heavenly Father speaking to us, his children. This isn't about a hammer, as if a hammer was being knocked into a nail, forcing us to do what we don't do. It's an appeal to us. I'm sure all of us have had our mothers or our fathers appealing to us to do the right thing. And they do it, and we realize they do it, because they care for us and they love us. And we're about to do the wrong thing, and our mother or our father says, my daughter, my son, my daughter, if you would do what I tell you, it will work out. And you'll do well. And we won't have arguments. Have you not ever had that before? Have you experienced that at home? when mummy has tried to tell you, because, and you know it's told in a loving way, or your father has told you in a loving way to act in a certain way, and you're not being appealed to out of anger, but out of love and concern. And that is how we are being addressed here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee. Well, first of all, what are the commandments of God? Well, the commandments of God are in the Bible, aren't they? It's the whole word of God. And it's suggesting that we don't just learn them so that they're in our heads, but that we learn them so that they are in our hearts. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. We need to hide God's word in our hearts. You see, and not be forgetful. And as I said earlier, there's a kind of forgetfulness that we all suffer from. I don't know if you're a forgetful person. You suddenly realize that you were going to meet somebody on a certain day and you forget. It's not that you actually didn't want to meet them, but you had genuinely forgotten what was happening. And there are ways that we can help ourselves, can't we? I remember saying to somebody today, and they were very tired and didn't feel they could come to church. Well, I suggested that, and they needed to have some sleep, I suggested they put their alarm on so that they didn't forget. Because if you're asleep, you're not going to remember the time of the service. And there are things that we all have to do to remind ourselves so that our fallible memories don't let us down. But there's a more serious kind of forgetfulness. It's not the forgetfulness of the mind that is so bad, but it is the forgetfulness of the heart. When we forget things in our heart, then what we're saying is not that my heart has got some defect, like a bad memory, but the defect is a moral defect. It's about behavior. And it's about saying, I don't want to do that. It's not that I can't remember because my mind's a bit dim. It's because my heart is deceitful. My heart is wants to follow another path. Proverbs, we have a few scriptures here which speak about the forgetful heart. Proverbs 2, verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Because if we look at 2, verse 17, this is the flatterer, the woman who would seduce a man out of the way. She forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She's forgotten the covenant of her God, that what God has told us to do. If I will walk in my ways, then I will bless you and I'll give you long life. If you turn with all your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Forgetting what God has promised to do to us, we obey him. Forgetting the gospel, turning away from it, thinking that actually the gospel is actually an excuse, allows us to sin, because it doesn't matter how much we sin. Well, the grace of the gospel will forgive us our sins. Forgetting what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace Mayor bands. How many of us think that? Oh, it doesn't matter if I sin, because God will forgive me. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, when we become Christians, we have a desire. We should have a desire to do what's right, because we are given a new heart, a new spirit in us to make us, to draw us to the Lord. But if we say, actually, I prefer sin, it's a forgetfulness of the heart. And we are then tempting God. We're putting God on trial. Surely God won't judge me for these things. He's promised to forgive me. And then we go from wickedness to wickedness. And there are people in the church today who say, well, God is all great. He accepts you as you are, and he will forgive you. But they overemphasize grace at the expense of holiness, at the expense of sin. And so we can end up deceiving ourselves, thinking that we are saved and safe when we are not. Into what? And there are warnings all over Scripture against this. Deuteronomy. Take chapter 4, verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Now, how the people of Israel, they forgot when Moses was up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Did they forget that Moses was up the mountain? Did they forget that God was speaking to him and giving him the Ten Commandments? Could they perhaps not see the mountain because it was covered in cloud? And, well, it wasn't that kind of forgetfulness, was it? You could hardly ignore there was thunder and lightning up there. No, they forgot with their hearts, because they didn't want to have to live for God and for his holy law. And so they made this golden calf. Friends, aren't there ways for us? Can you think of times when you've forgotten in your heart God's laws and you've made an idol? You've put an idol back where it was. Don't forget, idols aren't just golden calves. You say, well, I don't have a golden calf on my mantelpiece. But idols come in different shapes and sizes, particularly today in the internet age. Think of television. Television's an idol for many. They can't stop watching. People just can't stop watching it. Some people, they just have the television on day in, day out, day out. And it's an idol for them because it becomes more important to them than reading their Bibles and listening to good things. I shouldn't really say them, because it's a trap that all of us can fall into. After all, got YouTube there. Think of, there are good things on YouTube, there are bad things on YouTube. How easy it is for YouTube or other internet providers, websites like YouTube that offer you illicit pleasures, the pleasures of the flesh. And if you find that you can't stop watching them or listening to a certain type of music or smoking or drinking, well, what have you done? What have we done? Don't let me think. Please don't think I'm pointing the finger and saying that I'm perfect and I couldn't fall into the same traps. We have made an idol again. We have forgotten the covenant of our God. Not that we know. Suddenly we thought it was all right to do these things. But our hearts forgotten them because we prefer to go back like a dog to its vomit, to the things that we were saved out of, saved from, by the Lord Jesus. Isn't that sad? Isn't that a sad reflection on us and our weak human, frail human hearts? Rather, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, I will never, verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Shouldn't that be the rule? We always need that written on our mantelpiece, don't we? We're to carry it around on a bracelet. I will never forget thy precepts. In other words, what it's really saying is my heart will never forget thy precepts. I'll never depart from you. And then in Psalm 119, verse 176, psalmist wrote, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Oh, friends, don't let's forget his commandments. As I said to you, it's not the weakness of the physical memory. We have help for that. Do you know where we get that help from? That our memory, that we will not forget God's law. John 14, verse 26, very well known scripture. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He will remind you. Can you think of times? I fear I can. Can you think of times when you were going astray and the scripture popped into your mind to show you that you were taking a wrong course? What did you do with that scripture? Did you put that scripture out of your mind and continue on your course? If you did, you can't blame your memory, your physical memory, for your sin. But you can blame your heart, because the reason that we might put that scripture out of our mind is because our hearts have forgotten God's law. Our hearts want to take another course. So we need to help our hearts by causing our hearts to retain the word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4, it's the next chapter. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. We need to be teaching our hearts to remember God's word. So, friends, this is not a memory test for our physical memory. You sometimes think of the Bible as something a bit forbidding because it's all a little bit complicated. Well, actually, the key message of the Bible is very simple, isn't it? It is repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. Someone said yesterday, repent and believe are Siamese twins. You can't separate them. It's one and the same, two sides of the same coin. Repent and believe. That's the gospel, isn't it? And walk in the way. How are we going to make sure that that our hearts are not going to go astray? Well, what we need to do, do you remember that there were two tables of the law? And they were stored in the Ark of the Covenant. Two tables. I suggest we could say one table for the head, one table for the heart. We need to make sure that the heart has a table of the law in it. If it's just the head, it's no good. It might pass the memory test. I remember somebody giving their testimony. I don't know if you do here. And they said they'd come to kids' club and they would remember, they'd remember the memory verse. Why? So they could live a godly life? No, so they could win the prize. So they'd stored that memory verse in their heads, but not in their heart. In their heads, because they wanted to win a prize, but not in their hearts, so they could follow the Lord Jesus. You see the difference? So how are we going to make sure that our hearts retain the word of God? Well, it's really making sure that our desires are, how do we make sure our desires are for the Lord? In Psalm 119, which we sang, earlier, didn't we? This is a child's, should be a child's desire, a child of God's desire. The youngest here to the oldest here. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then verse 6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Is that your prayer when you go to bed? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. But that my heart wants to keep your statutes, your law. Then we read in verse 69 of the same psalm, Psalm 119. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. My whole heart will be set on serving the Lord. See, a child's helplessness will take hold of the promise that God has given. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. He will write his law in my heart. He's promised to. Isn't that wonderful? Because that means it's not about me, it's about him. I'm not trusting in myself, my own memory, my own ability to do what I know I can't do, but he will change my heart. But of course, I am responsible. I can't sit back and say, well, that's fine. I'll let him do it and I'll carry on my own sweet way. We need to look and see how he does it. How does he change my heart? Well, he does that by telling me to hide his word in it. So, friends, let me go back to the old chestnut of our devotions. Are we starting the day with the Lord? And are we trying to finish the day with the Lord? One of the reasons we keep both services here on the Lord's Day, morning and evening, to start the day with the Lord, to finish the day with the Lord. But are we doing it with our private devotions as well? And in our families, do we have family prayers? There's a very simple structure to those family prayers, which I discovered in Scotland. use open, ask somebody to open in prayer. Then you turn to the book of Psalms and choose just two or three verses in the psalm to sing. And then read a passage of scripture. It doesn't have to be a long passage. And then the other person prays. It doesn't take very long. It makes a lot of difference if you do it. So are you doing that? Are we taking advantage of the opportunity to pray with other Christians? Perhaps a midday prayer meeting. There are a few of them around, and you can ask me if you want to join one. These are ways that we keep our hearts, to keep our hearts with due diligence. How else do we keep our hearts? Well, we keep away from the things that will make our hearts forget God's law. For example, if you're somebody who's late, perennially late to things, and on the way you're jump traffic lights, do something else that's unlawful, what's the answer? Make sure you leave early. We had covered that this morning, didn't we? That's just one example, but there'll be other things that you'll be aware of. And the way to prevent sin is not to have it, not to have it before your eyes. Keep it away from you. Cut off your right hand, your left hand. Make sure you cannot, that sin cannot come near you. If you pluck out your eye, and I'm not, this is not meant literally, this is the Lord Jesus speaking metaphorically, it's a picture. If your eye can't see something, then it's not going to have an effect on your heart because it's not there to see it. We must turn our eyes away, our senses away, from where we might be tempted. We just flee temptation. You're not to fight it, you flee it. Just as Joseph fled Potiphar's wife, Potiphera. Day and night, she was pleading with him to lie with him and even grab hold of his robe. And what did he do? He fled and he left the robe in her room. Friends, that has to be our view. It's hard, isn't it? But it's the only way. Otherwise, we'll be forgetting God's law. You see, it's no good just doing the right thing when your heart wants to do the wrong thing. Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, has this rather strong warning. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who requires you to do things your way when your heart is not in it? Friends, let's not do what our wills want us to do. Let's do God's will. I think there's too much of people doing their will in church. We sing psalms because the Bible says sing psalms. I don't believe it actually says sing hymns, which are not in the Bible. And you might say, well, there are some of my favorite, I've got some favorite hymns. May I suggest to you that the hymns which are best are the ones which are closest to the Psalms. But, and I'm sorry to be controversial in the sense that I don't intend to upset anybody, but I believe this is the truth, is why I'm saying it, that even the best hymns have set a trend which today has led to the mindless worship of music groups, which a little different to secular pop music. And in the end, all we're doing is indulging ourselves instead of worshiping God as he's told us to. I don't know about you, but I would suggest that the proof of the pudding is in the eating. It does say, after all, the word of God says, taste and see that I am God. And when we sing God's word, do you not feel a thrill in your soul? An experience of God that you don't get when you sing even the best hymns? Because they can't compare. A human author cannot compare with a divine author, the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 5, this is what we read, verse 19. And be not drunk, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this isn't some sort of strange concept that, well, how do I be filled with the Spirit? We're actually told, Paul tells us in the next verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are all titles for the Psalms, the book of Psalms. They only sung psalms at that time. I find it strange that people want to think they can do better than the apostles and the Lord Jesus. Did the Lord Jesus ever sing a human composition? Of course he didn't. He sung the Psalms. If he can sing the Psalms, and the Lord Jesus is all over the Psalms, then we should sing the Psalms as well. Remember what Matthew Henry said. It's at the front of our it is at the front of our sheets. I'm trying to make it on the front of all our projectors, PowerPoints. We have now before us one of the choicest and most excellent parts of all the Old Testament. Nay, so much is there in it of Christ and his gospel, as well as of God and his law, that it has been called the summary of both Testaments. No wonder we should sing the Psalms. It's a summary of the Old and the New Testament, the whole Bible in one. And it's interesting, as somebody else pointed out, the Psalms is divided into five parts. Just as the Old Testament law, the first, is divided into five books. And I'm sure if we asked one of the youngest here, they could tell us what those are. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Well, I must draw to a close. Time has nearly gone. Well, friends, I want to just end really by going back to our verse, because there's another point I want to make. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, isn't it a truth that long life can be a burden, can't they? It's not really just about living a long life, is it? Because you might think, oh, I can't face 40 more years of this, of trouble. Well, what we've got here is the key to living a happy long life. You see, the wicked will often die in outward comfort, but the righteous in outward trouble, but inward peace. And the key to living a happy life is to live a peaceful life, because a peaceful life and a long life will make a happy life. And only the Lord can give us peace, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you, we read. And the Lord Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace. That's at the end, believe. That is at the end of John's Gospel. John chapter 16. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. How's your life? Which of these two do you identify with? Trouble? Is your life trouble? Or is your life peaceful? You see, you can have difficulties in life, but be at peace in the midst of them. Remember the Lord Jesus in the boat, in the storm, in the boat. He was in the storm like the disciples, but he was at rest, at peace. The disciples weren't, they were panicked. But the Lord Jesus has promised to be with us in times of trouble and to give us peace in times of trouble. Remember what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, through which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Are you and I doing that? Are you and I making those decisions that keep the peace of God in our hearts? Because when we forget God's law, his peace goes out the window, and then we replace it with other things. But we, in truth, deep down, we're empty. And then our consciences are troubled. We lose our peace. We become restless and troubled and depressed. But the key to a happy life is to live a peaceful life. And I would suggest to you, friends, you have all the riches in this world, but they'll come with trouble and not with peace. It's not to say that you couldn't be rich and be a Christian. If you are, you ought to be generous. But if you focus on riches and worldliness, worldly pleasures, you're going to forfeit the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's having his peace which matters for length of days and long life. And friends, length of days, maybe it's your live to your 90s. But what really matters is what happens when you die. Are you going to live forever with the Lord Jesus? Or are you going to forsake his mercies and lose your salvation? I say that you can't lose your salvation, but are you going to be as one who never truly believed? Are you going to be on one on whom prove in the end to be one on where the seed fell, not on the good ground, but on the stony, the thorn, or the thorny ground? Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, for I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He knew he was going to be with Christ. He wrote also in that chapter, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ. That's the way of a true Christian. He looks forward to tomorrow because Christ is with him or her. That's what makes tomorrow worth living for. It's why we can lay down our heads at night and rest, because Christ is with us. He has a plan for us, and he will take us through it. Remember Psalm 48, let me finish with this verse. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this God is our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. You put your hand into the hand of the Lord Jesus, he will be your guide, even unto death. Amen.